Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Genesis chapter 32, we read that the Lord instructed Jacob to return to his land, to return to his family. And as he was on his way home, he was afraid. He was in turmoil. He was in distress because he was about to face his older brother Esau, the one that he had deceived, the one from whom he had stolen the blessing of the firstborn, the inheritance that belonged to Esau. And if that wasn't enough, when Jacob came to a tributary of the Jordan, a stream called Jabbok, he was told by his servants that his brother was on the way to meet him, and he had 400 men with him. So Jacob stopped for the night by that stream. But he didn't get much sleep, because we are told that he wrestled with a man in that place until daybreak. And when that man was gone, Jacob realized that he was more than a man. So he named that place Peniel, which means the face of God. Because he said, I have seen God face to face, and I have been spared. As we come to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we have come to Peniel because we are about to see the face of God. We are about to see Him face to face, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4, 6. We are about to be given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, His magnificence that is found where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Paul is about to show us God, the one who came into this world, the one who became flesh and blood. He's more than just a man. He gave the appearance that he was a man, but Paul says in verse 15, he is more than that. He is the image, the icon, the exact representation of the invisible God. Like an image on a coin, that's the way the Greeks and the Romans used that word. He is the picture. He is a portrait of God. John 14:9, Jesus said that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. People wonder, what's God really like? Well, all we have to do is to look at Jesus Christ. Because He is God. God who came down to earth in flesh and blood and dwelt among us. And it is Jesus Christ who shows us God. He shows us the character of God. He is the exact representation of His nature, it says in Hebrews 1:3. He is hypostasis in Greek. We have confidence. We can have confidence to know that when we look at Christ, we see God, just like a photograph. God has become visible to us. He shows us His holiness. He shows us His righteousness. He shows us His perfection. He shows us His heart, His desire for us to come to Him and be saved from the wrath to come. Christ has brought God to a place where we can actually understand Him a little better. We can actually know Him. And Paul says He is also the firstborn of all creation. The prototokos in Greek. A word that is misunderstood even to this day. Because it doesn't speak of time. It doesn't speak of an event. It doesn't speak of a time when he was born. It doesn't even speak of what some people think it speaks of, a time when he was created, which is incorrect. Because Micah 5:2 says that his going forth is from where? From all eternity. He's the eternal one. Prototokos is a word that has nothing to do with time. It has to do with rank. It has to do with position. It has to do with the fact that he is Lord over all creation. Just like the firstborn in a family had the right to the inheritance, he has the right to the inheritance of the universe, of this world. In that way, he is the firstborn. The heir, Hebrews 1:2 says. The heir, the rightful heir of all things. So in Revelation 5, we're told he is worthy. Who is worthy to take the scroll? He is worthy to take back the earth. To take back the universe. Because he is the prototokos. The preeminent one. Above all things. Above everyone, it says in Psalm 89. He could not have been created, Paul says. Why? Because Paul says he is the creator. Verse 16. For in him, or by him, all things, tapanta, everything. Everything has been created. The billions of galaxies. The world. Every molecule. Every atom has been created. Has come into being. All things, it says in John 1:3, has come into being through him, and apart from him, not anything came into being that has come into being. Well, that leaves nothing out, does it? He's created everything. He's created it all. He is God, the creator of the universe. But, you know, sometimes we forget. He's also the creator of us. Even the ox knows its master, it says in Isaiah 1:3. Well, we might be able to learn something from that ox. Because even the ox knows its master. We forget who has created us. He has created all things. All things were created by him, Paul says. Both things in heaven, the things in the sky. And the things, he says, that are on the earth. The things that are visible. The things that are all around us. That we see in the mirror. And Paul says the things that are invisible. The things that are in an unseen world that is also all around us. That is just as real as the world that we can see. Whether Paul says they are thrones, or dominions, or rulers, or authorities. This is a hierarchy of angels. This is the responsibility of Christ. He is responsible over these angels, Paul says. They are at his command, under the direction of Christ, as he is seated in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1:21 says, he is far above them all, far above all rule and authority and dominion, far above the entire spirit world. He is Lord over all. He is Lord over angels and demons. And Paul says he is Lord over everyone here on earth. Everyone that is named. Everyone who is named in this world, no matter how important they may seem, he is Lord over all in this age and in the age to come, for all time and for all eternity. All things, Paul tells us in verse 16, have been created through him, by his word. Christ spoke. And the universe came into existence. Out of nothing. He created everything. So now everything, Paul says, has been created by him. Why? Why did he create the universe? Paul says in verse 16, it has been created not for you, not for me. He says it's been created for him. For his glory. For his honor. But unlike the ox, we've rebelled against our master. We've rebelled against our creator. We think it's all about us, all about ourselves, all about our priorities, all about our life, our career. It's all about him. It's all been created. We have been created for him, for his glory, to bring glory to his name. Even the heavens declare his glory. Doesn't it say that in Psalm 19? The heavens speak. They have no voice, the psalmist says, yet they speak of the glory of God. They declare the work of his hands. We have a voice. What about us? Is that the way we speak? We have the opportunity to declare his glory. Even the rocks do better than we do. He's our God. We're the people, the sheep of his pasture. Shouldn't it be us who are declaring and displaying the glory of God in our lives, the glory of the riches that he has given to us in Christ? That should be us. He's our Lord. He's our King. For he is, Paul says, verse 17, before all things. Pro in Greek, prior. He existed prior to everything, prior to everyone, prior to creation. He was there. He's always existed. Revelation chapter 22, Jesus said of himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. I transcend time. I transcend space. I am the source of all things. I am the fulfillment of all things. I am the one who has the final authority over all things. And in him, or by him, all things not only have been created, Paul says, verse 17, but all things hold together, susistemai in Greek, like glue. Like glue, he holds the universe together. He sustains it. He keeps it going. He maintains the balance, the delicate balance. So this earth spins on its axis, so it continues to orbit around the sun, so that our bodies continue to function. When we take our next breath, it's because he has allowed us to take another breath. Hebrews 1:3 says that he upholds all things. He supports the universe. He carries the weight, keeps it going. Keeps it going so it doesn't break into pieces. Ever think about that? Without him, without his word, how does it say he does it? Hebrews says he does it by the power of his word. By his very word, he holds it together. What if he wasn't doing that? Well, there'll come a day when he will stop holding this world together. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're told there will come a time, and it'll be a time of judgment. And in that time, we are told the heavens will pass away, and the elements will be destroyed with fervent heat, and the earth will be destroyed. Its works will be burned up. He will cease to hold the world together. But until that day, he holds us. He holds the world by the power of his word. So not only is he the creator, not only is he the sustainer of the universe, he is the sustainer of a new creation, the sustainer of us. Verse 18, he also is the kephale, the head, the sovereign ruler of who? He says, of the body, which is the church. Just as our head directs our physical body, so it says Christ directs his ecclesia, his church, those who have been called out of this world, those who belong to him, those who belong to Christ. He directs us. He holds us together. He keeps us on track. He guides us. He instructs us so that we might express him to the world. So that we might have unity in the body of Christ. So that we might have spiritual health and direction as we look to him, as we are grounded in his word. Without Christ, we would be lost. So Paul says, he is the beginning of the church. The arche in Greek. The starting point. He's the starting point of the church. He died, he rose from the grave, and without him there would be no church. There would only be dead religion. So, Paul says he is the firstborn from the dead. Once again, the same word, prototokos, the word we saw in verse 15. He is the preeminent one who has risen from the dead. He has conquered death so that we might have life. He is the prototokos. So now we have eternal life. So we look to him. We worship him. We glorify him. So that, Paul says in verse 18, he himself might come to have first place in our lives. First place in us. He says first place in us, in everything, in every way, as we consider what he has done for us. What has he done? Think of it. Our Creator has suffered at the hands of his creation. He has suffered at our hands. He has suffered in order to bring us back to himself. And we are reminded in Philippians chapter 2 that though he is God, he took on the form of a bondservant, a slave. He humbled himself and became obedient to his Father, and he suffered as he sacrificed himself for us, as he died on a cross. So that now, it says there, so that now he will have a name which is above every name. Which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, must bow. Things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. That leaves no one out, does it? Every tongue, he says, will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. That is his name. His name is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. All, it says, to the glory of God the Father. For it was the Father's good pleasure, Paul tells us in verse 19. Enudokeo, it was pleasing in his sight for all the fullness, the pleroma, all the divine power, the infinite power of God, all of the attributes of God, everything that God is, has always and forever dwelt in him, Paul says. Been at home. It's always been there. The fullness of God, his holiness, his perfection, has always dwelt in Christ. And that's a good thing. Because this is important to us to know. Because it provides the means by which to address our problem. We need a perfect Savior. Christ is that perfect Savior. Our problem is this. Our sin has separated us from God. Stands in our way. Stands in the way of a relationship with God. So we need a new relationship with him. But how are we going to get there? Well, our relationship with God is based on Christ. On his perfection. So it says in verse 20, through him, he is able now to reconcile all things to himself. To reconcile. apokatalasso in Greek, to restore all things, to reestablish a relationship that was lost, to bring us back to the place where we were before sin entered this world. Now, we are surrounded by sickness, by pain, and by death. But there was a time. There was a time when those things were not a part of this world. Remember back in the paradise of God, Adam and Eve lived in perfect harmony with God. But what happened? Sin broke that relationship, didn't it? So we need to reestablish that. We can't do it on our own. Only Christ can do it. He has reconciled us to God. This world is under the curse of sin. It is stained. This universe is stained with sin. It says in Romans 8, all creation groans. We groan, waiting for Christ. Sin's polluted the world, but it's polluted this world with evil. It's polluted this world with conflict. It's polluted this world with death and decay. But the sacrifice of Christ has resolved that problem for us. Having made peace, Paul says, verse 20. Peace for us. Erenopoeo. He's a peacemaker. That's what the word means. He's become the peacemaker. How? He says he's made peace through what? The blood. Through his blood. The blood of his cross. Through his sacrifice. Through his death, he has done what we are not and could never do. He's provided the way back to God. He has reestablished the relationship. So now we have the opportunity to become sons and daughters of God instead of enemies of God. So that through him, Paul says, to Christ, I say, all things will be restored, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although Paul says you were formerly at one time alienated, a apolitreo, you were cut off from God. There was no hope for you. You were without God in this world. At one time, he says, you were hostile to him. Ektros. Hateful. Hateful where? He says, in your mind. In your mindset. In your disposition. In your attitude. And so what did you do? He says, you engaged in evil deeds, paneros, those things that were wicked. You were destroying yourself. Because you love the darkness of your sin more than you love the light of Christ. You were deceived by the enemy. Hopeless situation. Hopeless condition. Yet, Paul says in verse 22, now he has reconciled you. He has restored you. He has reestablished the relationship with God for you. And he has done it, he says, in his fleshly body, in the body of his flesh, through his death. Why? He says, in order to present you, in order to place you before him, so that we could stand before God, forgiven of our sins. So that now, Paul says, that you might be hagios, holy, set apart to God, set apart for him, blameless, amomos, without blemish, without spot, beyond reproach, anakletos, so that no one, not even the enemy of our souls, can bring a charge against us. Why? Because of Christ, because of what he has done. But Paul gives the church in Colossae a word of warning. gives us a word of warning in verse 23. He says this, the evidence that this has taken place in your life, the evidence that you have been saved from the wrath to come, is this, if indeed you continue epimeno, if you remain in the faith, if you remain true to Christ, if you continue to abide in Him, firmly established, semelio, grounded in Him, steadfast, hedraeos, seated, firmly seated in Him. That's the idea. Not moved away. Not, so you haven't fallen away from Christ, but He says, you have not fallen away from the hope, from the expectation, the confidence that you have in what He says in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has saved your souls. We may fall away. Proverbs 24:16 says we may fall away seven times. But it says we will rise again. We will rise up and return to our Savior. We will continue for Christ. He won't let go of us. He has us in His hand. And Paul says, this is the truth of the gospel that you have heard. It has been presented to you clearly and accurately. And you received it. You believed it. This is the same message that is also proclaimed and preached, Paul says, throughout all creation, where faithful men and women bring the truth of the message of Christ. And Paul says, I am also a minister. I've been made a diakonos, a servant of Christ. So like Paul, we say what he said. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God before it is too late. But what about us? What about those of us who do know Christ? As we stand at Peniel and we look into the face of God, as we look into the face of Christ, what can we say? All we can say is, all glory and majesty and dominion and authority be to Him, to our God, to our Savior, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.